Hello, listeners, and welcome once again to the podcast. My name is Jeff, and I will be your host today, as always. I do want to apologize for the time it is taking between episodes. I actually do have kind of an excuse for this one. I'm going to talk about that a little later in the episode. It was a couple of things. Well, one thing specifically that was totally outside of my control, but I'm going to get to that later. Anyways, today in this episode, we're going to be talking about the little. Wait, is this right? Are you sure? Are you? Well, okay. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about the Little Mermaid. So sit right back. I guess you're going to have to stick around to see what that's all about. But as we work our way towards that, welcome to the Leyline Junction. Well, Joanne, Teresa, welcome once again to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hope you've been doing well. Today, we are together so we can talk about the nines of the tarot deck.
Yes, but first, can I tell you an adventure I had?
Please.
A find. So I was cleaning out my basement and I dropped a box. And I was going through it, and there is an entire tarot deck that I did not know I had. And so I brought it up for today.
What tarot deck is this?
Okay, so it's the Fairy Tarot. So it's really pretty. So I actually, it looks like a lot of it's in order. So it must be a deck that I probably bought and then packed away when I moved houses. So probably it's got little fairies, obviously, cats. So death is a little, it's like a cartoonish fairy skeleton with the cutest little, cape on, and it's dark and it's so cute. It's so cute. But yeah, it's just a very interesting. They have the hearts. So the suits are the hearts, the leaves, the bells, and the acorns. And it's just, I don't know. I must have bought it one day and just never had a chance. So I think I might bring it out for a ride.
Cool. I will admit I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping you were going to tell a story of how one card jumped out of this box and had some special
Play
meaning for what we were doing here.
gig. I got the all of the nines came out magically in his perfect row.
All
Now it's more like
right.
a script. So yeah.
All right. So let's get into the nines. I think I'm going to change up the order just a little bit for what we're working on today, but I still do want to start with the wands. So, looking at the Pamela Smith art for the Nine of Wands, we see a character leaning on his staff. He looks a little weary. His head is bandaged. Most of the research that I did, actually, most of the research that I was looking at for all of the nines seem pretty much in sync. There's a lot of consensus here. But what I have been seeing about the Nine of Wands is traditional interpretation of this card would say you've had a long road. You're a little weary right now, but the end of the tunnel is in sight. We can see that light at the end of the tunnel. We've got maybe one more push to give, one more fight to go through, and then we should be on our way.
It's like success comes at a price.
Yeah, it's kind of the what I've been seeing. It's more of a perseverance card, right? Like we are
Resilient.
reaching the end of that road.
You're almost there.
Yeah, so you may be exhausted, but don't give up yet. So, let me turn it over to the two of you. What has your experience with this card been?
Resilience. It's been when, again, like I said, you have success, but it came at a price, but it made you not better, but you're giving everything for the success, and it's finally there. And it's been a very weary road to get there, and you're finally there.
So for the Arthurian legend deck, it doesn't quite align with the traditional meaning of the card. So the artwork on it shows these cliffs alongside an ocean, like a little inlet of the ocean. It's pouring rain, and there are these harps that the waves are crashing against, and some looks like some supplies, like quivers of arrows, kind of laying on their side. And it's called Wind Harps of War, is what the title of the card actually says. And what it means, like, I would always check the book because this artwork never really resonated with me. And I pr probably should have sat with it a little bit more and got more from it just from the visual, which is typically what I do. But the interpretation in the book is anticipating hostility, preparing for turbulence and conflict, foresight, sensing unrest, putting affairs in order, planning a defense. So it really doesn't follow that coming to the end of the road, your goal is just in sight. Like, I never got that from this card. And just looking at the card, it kind of gave me a sense of like hunkering down and waiting out the storm, rather than pushing forward and going through to the end of your road, as you've said. To me, this signified, whenever I got this card in a reading, it was a message to buckle up, get ready, do your best to survive the storm, and then the skies will clear it after.
Any cards from other decks we can add? Footnote here, usually we do try to avoid as many spoilers for the Buffy series as possible, but with the cards we're about to discuss, there was really no way to avoid talking about some of the major events that happen in season five. So, five and six, I think. So if you want to skip it, that's up to you.
In the Buffy deck, you guys will love this. Any fans of Buffy? It's actually the artwork is of Spike, but he's been chipped by the initiative. And now he's really getting frustrated with it. He's come to the end of his rope. Because I think at that point, he might have been starting to have feelings for Buffy. And he went to this demon or something, magic, magician, sorcerer, or something to get the chip taken out since the initiative is gone. And instead, it gives him his soul, like Angel. Amazing. So it's the artwork is the hand, like the hand of the sorcerer on Spike's chest, and like these beams of light coming out of his chest where the soul is like being put back into his chest, and it's just makes me laugh. To me, it's so in terms of the message, like the traditional message of the card, it kind of turns on its head your original goal. I think he got the better end of the deal. Like any normal person would think he's got the better end of the deal getting his soul back, especially with no stipulations as far as having that one true moment of happiness. Like if only Angel could do this, but to me, that card makes me think of you are almost to a goal. It may not be the original one that you started out on your journey to attain, but it's actually something better, and it's something that makes you into a better person, helps you grow, helps you to evolve. Although I know that that's not what he wanted, but which makes me laugh.
How about that new fairy or old fairy deck?
It didn't come with a book, so I'm trying to figure out how the suits correlate, and I think it's the acorn.
What
I feel like
suits have
acorns
you
would
got
be
there?
okay. So got acorns, bells, leaves, hearts.
Well, hearts are going to be cups.
My thought would be
What?
maybe the leaves are the swords because they kind of could look like a sword.
I think that could be acorn too. One of them is going to be swords, one is going to be wands. What was the fourth suit again?
Bells.
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 That's pentacles. Bells are
Okay.
pentacles.
Yeah, that
Sure,
makes
why not?
sense.
Just gonna own it now. And I'm gonna, you know what though? Okay, so let's discuss. So for the acorns. Okay, so you have the nine acorns are above this little prince because he has a crown on and he's above sitting on a mushroom and he's kind of overlooking a crowd, and he's just kind of sitting there, just kind of with his, you know, his elbows on his knees, and you know, his head, you know, kind of in his hands, and that is all in like a gray black, and the acorns are in a bright red, like they look like acorns.
Without having heard the leaves card, I'm kind of already guessing that those are swords.
That's what, yeah, okay. You know what? Yeah, because the leaves show a fairy riding, I'm gonna say it's a lightning bug, but it looks like a moth. Like a moth over, it looks like water, and they're traveling, but you can see they look tired. And so, you know what? I think that would be the wands.
Okay, I actually want to bring up a card that I've got, because it didn't necessarily fit the traditional reading. It kind of does. I can see how it does, but it's actually very similar to that card. I'm going back to the Shadowscapes deck, and in the Nine of Wands, it is clearly a military action going on. We have kind of an army in the background, and the leader, the general, is up on a cliff and he's mounted on top of what I can only describe as a dire fox. It's very cute, but it is more of this heroic pose that he's got there. And it sounds like it could be like your fairy card where he is, about to lead this army into that final battle, that last hurdle. And so, just based on the similarity between these two cards, I'm going to guess that the leaves are your wands there. Another quick footnote here. I did look up the details of the fairy deck after we recorded this conversation, and I found out that we were wrong. The acorns in this fairy deck are supposed to represent wands, and the leaves are supposed to represent the swords. I am going to leave the remainder of the conversation as we originally had it. Most of what we discuss is still applicable, though keep in mind as you're listening, once again, the acorns are actually the wands and the leaves are actually the swords. So the Nine of Swords, you were describing the acorns as this kind of dark, dreary, gray, somber card, and that does match what we know of the Nine of Swords in the Pamela Smith art. This is our card of anxiety and depression. Yay. So the card depicts a person in bed. The person is sitting up in bed, holding their face in their hands. Their eyes are covered. They do seem to be crying. The nine swords are suspended in the air above their head. And this card does seem to speak to those anxieties that are keeping us awake at night, ones that are not necessarily well founded in reality. I saw a couple sources mention that. Most of my sources draw attention to the blanket that is covering this person, although many of my sources pick different things out of this blanket. I had one source that focused heavily on, so it's a checker pattern on this blanket. It's like a quilt. And in one of the alternating boxes, you have depictions of flowers. And on the other, we have signs of the zodiac. But regardless of what was being focused on, the message seems to be that there is hope there. And if we would stop and open our eyes and take a clear look at, around us, we would see that maybe our anxieties are not very well founded. So, Joanne, I'm going to go straight to you. Can you again tell us a little more now that we have some context to this? Can you tell
Yes.
us a little more about the little acorns?
So you see a little boy, so everything is like a gray wash. And you see a little boy, he has a crown on his head, and you just see him with his elbows on his knees, hands in his, on his face, and he's looking and he's sitting upon a mushroom, and he's looking over at all of these crowds of people. But there, you can't really distinguish where one person ends and another person begins. It's just kind of, they're all kind of jumbled together. If you look closer, now that I look closer, you feel so sad, and it's very interesting because it does kind of go with the theme of the swords. That the theme of the Nine of the Swords, which is that trauma, anxiety, depression, and it's not just like seasonal depression. It is the depression where getting out of bed physically hurts. It's that depression.
So the Shadowscapes deck that I always talk about, and I do have three other decks here. I don't know why I don't talk about them more, but although they more closely in general follow the Pamela Smith art, so I guess that's why I don't necessarily talk about them. So the Shadowscapes deck, I noticed that with the nines did not necessarily match up very well, as well with the Pamela Smith art as it usually does. And for the Nine of Swords, it is still kind of a depressing card. But what we've got is a character in the foreground of the card. This character is an angelic type character carrying a sword, looking up into the background of the card. And high in the sky is nine crows or some type of black bird circling in the air above him. He also happens to have a tattoo of nine swords on his chest, but I think that's just, I'm more focused on the birds here. Anyways, it does kind of give me a feel of anxiety, and certainly the birds, the dark birds, are hovering in the air above him. I don't know. Actually, the more I talk about it now, the more it does seem to fit. So maybe it
I
was
think
just me.
so. I think it fits. It does.
This is about practice. It's making it into a practice where you look at it regularly. You can't just pick them up every so often and expect to, be an expert on it or to like know exactly what it stands for. It takes time to get used to looking at this card, having a relationship with the card and each one in that way. I have also done back and forth, up and down, picking it up, putting it down, picking it up, putting it down. So like I love that we're talking about this because it makes me look at it again, and in this discussion with each other, you guys give me new perspectives to looking at these cards in a way that I haven't maybe looked at them before. And it's forced me to like get out of my comfort zone of my old deck that I've used for 20 something years. And now I have, like, since we started this, I think I've bought five new decks. I haven't really used all of them. Like there's the Good Karma deck that I got that seemed like a good idea when I bought it. And I think I might have gotten it for someone else. I'm just not sure who that is, because every time I pick it up and I like shuffle it, I'm like, I'm not feeling this one. I just not feeling it. So it's
There's a
probably for.
couple. Yeah, there's a couple. It's like they're pretty.
But it's not for me. Like, I can tell the more that I've touched it and tried to get to know it. And I don't know what to say about that for like anybody else. Like, it depends on your method of familiarizing yourself with a deck. But for those of you who are sensitive to energy and vibration, I think you just kind of know. Like, you get to a point where you know, I am drawn to this deck because it is for me to read, or I'm drawn to this deck because I think I got it as a gift for somebody at some point, and I'll know when is the time to gift this deck.
Well, as, certainly as the learner here, you've been doing the exact same thing for me. So I return the thanks, and hopefully to our listeners, we're all doing the same thing. And so one other piece of this card that I will mention, I mentioned the birds hovering above the character. One of the birds is actually kind of perched on his shoulder. So I think that does also hint at the fact that this anxiety is not necessarily well-founded, that these are perfectly nice birds. And we certainly know crows to be that, and protective even.
Yes.
But yeah, Teresa, you were even just before we started recording here, you were talking about how much you were enjoying the Lightseer's deck. Does that deck provide any insight into this card?
Yes, I think so. And it gives a different view that I didn't have necessarily with my comfy, cozy security blanket deck. Really quick, I just want to touch on the Arthurian Legend deck. This card always made me, for me, this card was always a wallowing deck. Like you're wallowing. You're kind of spinning your wheels in this depression. You gotta snap out of it. It's the artwork on the Arthurian Legend deck is a beautiful young woman, kind of lounging in a boat, trailing her fingers in the water as someone rows her forward. And there doesn't appear to be any immediate reason for her to be depressed. In the Lightseer's Tarot, it also has birds on it. It also has crows on it, flying above, like as if they were swords. The crows are all kind of flying in a flock above this woman in a red dress who's kneeling. She's not like laying in bed, but it's really interesting There's a very faint outline in white of like a ghostly headboard, so almost like she's in bed. And then there's a cushion, like a pillow, right next to her. And she also has her head in her hands. But also at the top of the card, in like on the edge of the flock of birds, of black crows, there's a white outline of a crow. So to me, that shows that there's hope. There's something that you can hold on to that can help pull you out of this despair that you're feeling.
I think it's particularly interesting the way the themes in the different decks that we have are connecting on this card.
Yeah, it is.
Kind
A
of
little weird.
strange. Wait, I need to ask the one that you're talking about in the Arthurian deck. We mentioned this card before, haven't we? There.
Maybe. So this is the
Right.
Nine of Swords for the Arthurian Legend deck.
And a while back, when we were talking about the fours, there was a card that I was kind of stuck on. It was the Four of Cups, and it depicted this mermaid on the edge of the sea, and she was kind of list.
Trailing her fingers in the water.
Yeah. And you mentioned this card too.
Did you get that?
Am I recalling that correctly?
I
Is
think
this
I think so. I
okay? Any additional words of wisdom from Buffy or Nightmare Before Christmas or
kind of I'm kind of intrigued by the Buffy one. It's similar to the Waite-Smith deck in terms of Buffy is sitting up in bed, swords are floating over her. She's sitting up with a blanket over her legs, but I think this is the episode where she dreamed or they were in the dreamscape. Their nightmares were coming true.
Right, that's right.
And her nightmare was that she had been turned into a vampire. So it definitely gives the vibe, like it definitely aligns with the vibe of this is the nightmare card. But what really pulls me in with this particular rendition of it is that the lesson in that Buffy episode was, they had to overcome their fears to get through and to defeat the villain of that episode. And that's the same thing that we have to do. Like, we have to push through our fear, have the courage, and get through to the other side and lift ourselves up.
Okay, so the reason why I wanted to take these cards out of order today is because we are now left with the Nine of Cups and the Nine of Pentacles. And I feel like thematically, these cards are actually very similar. These are both kind of like celebration cards. So the Nine of Cups. We see a man sitting with a row of nine cups displayed behind him. And to put it quite simply, he looks very proud. One last footnote in here. It was at this point in the interview that Teresa actually broke into song, singing little pieces of Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid. We did equate that movie to this card. And I mentioned earlier that I had an excuse for putting out this episode late. That excuse was I did send an email to Disney asking for permission to include Teresa's rendition of Part of Your World because it was really cute. And I thought very both appropriate and funny. And I did get an automated email back from them saying that the process takes a while and I should wait patiently for their reply. And Several weeks later, without having heard a reply, I decided we should go ahead and publish this anyways. Hopefully, if I do hear back from them someday, I can re-release this episode with Teresa's beautiful singing in it. But until then, we're just going to skip that part and return you to the conversation in progress. So this card does encourage us to revel in abundance, to be happy with the material goods that we've got. I did see several sources refer to this as the wish card, although actually none of my sources really talked about what that means or why this is a wish card. You know, they did mention that a lot of our dreams have come true. So that's what I'm going to take out of that. But basically, this card is telling us that we can be proud of our accomplishments. Do not downplay our fortune. Do not downplay our successes. And just be happy with what we've got. So, before we get into the Nine of Pentacles, which, like I said, I feel has a very similar theme. Joanne Teresa, what can you tell us about this card?
So in the Light Seers deck, it's a woman who she definitely looks like she's reveling in material abundance. She's got her arms like wide open, although you're only seeing her from the side, and the cups are like floating around her or kind of above her. And she's kind of floating in the air or leaping for joy. And just below her is a chest full of treasures, like golden treasures. And then the quick snippet in the book says, "I open my grateful heart to the gifts that are coming my way." So to me, I've also seen it referenced as the wish card as well, and I feel like in a sense that this is a manifestation card. By being grateful, you attract more abundance to you. So it's about focusing on your blessings. It's about feeling that gratitude for what you have and attracting even more of that towards you. So in that way, I feel like it's like a wish card. The funny thing is that with the Arthurian Legend deck, I kind of saw this card because of the artwork. It made me feel a lot like the Four of Swords card, where in the Nine of Cups in the Arthurian Legend deck, there's this, looks like this ill or injured person who's healing on this, looks like a marble slab held up by two dragons, like marble dragons, and like a healer standing over him. And then a beam of sunlight is shining on him in the woods. So to me, this. In the Arthurian Legend deck, it was more of a healing card, or getting to the other side of a sickness or some other kind of a challenge, which is very different from the theme, the traditional theme of the card in the Buffy deck. It's from Once More with Feeling. It's the Buffy musical. You loved it or you hated it, and it's the demon. And I absolutely see how people would see this as a wish card based on this card, because didn't he granted Dawn's wish, didn't he?
No,
Or oh, he took.
it was Xander's wish, but Dawn picked up the charm that Xander used to summon Sweet. All right, so I do have a couple cards here that I want to mention. The one I do need your help on is again from the Shadowscapes deck, and this card depicts, so it's an underwater shot, and you're kind of looking up. You see a mermaid who is watching a school of fish swim by, and the cups are part of the design, or the not design, what would you call the markings on the fish. And what really confuses me about this card is that these fish seem to be swimming away, like this mermaid is not getting his wish. This merman actually is chasing, or should be chasing. He's kind of watching the fish swim away, but the wishes are definitely getting away. So I was very confused by this card.
And they're under the sea?
Yes.
Under the sea.
I'm kind of seeing it. So
So, okay,
it,
there's that.
on the edge, like behind him, it looks like they're going in a circle. It looks like they're going around him to me. So it doesn't look like they're going away from him necessarily. It looks kind of like they're swirling around
No, so
him.
wait,
I
wait, wait,
kind
wait.
of.
It could be like that scene from Under the Sea where the fish are swimming around. It... One way or the other, this is the Little Mermaid card, isn't it?
It really is.
Okay, I can
Forever
see that.
will be, yes.
I can see that. Have we got any other inspiration from other cards before we move on to our pentacles?
No, but you just woke up the cat. Hey.
Did you want to talk about the similarities? Because you had us pull some extra cards, and I think you had referenced that they were similar, or you're waiting till later.
Yes,
Okay.
but I would like to, so let's jump on to the Nine of Pentacles.
Okay.
Because again, this is also a celebratory card. We see a woman in a very luxurious dress walking through a garden, and the pentacles are depicted in the garden around her. She is also holding a hooded bird. We can probably assume that that's a falcon. But the traditional interpretation that I've seen says you should relax, you should enjoy your prosperity. So, again, very similar in theme. It does kind of, it seems to also reference material wealth. Can you tell me your impression of this card?
So the Light Seer's Tarot also has like it's more of a hanging garden. Actually, it looks like she's in her herb room. This woman is has a bunch of herbs hanging upside down, so they're probably drying. And the pentacles, nine pentacles, are also kind of mixed in with the herbs. And then on top of one of the pentacles is a bird. It's not hooded. But it does look like a bird of prey or some kind of a raptor. But she looks ecstatic. She looks happy. Everything is going her way. In the Buffy deck, I love this. It's Anya on roller skates in the magic box. And she's just got like a pumpkin, like one of the plastic pumpkins is full of cash. Like the cash is spilling out of it. And she's got a pile of cash in her hands, and she's like got a smile on her face. She looks smug, like, yeah, I'm making my money. I'm getting my stuff. Like I have all of the pretty things that I want. And then again, the Arthurian legend is straying from the traditional, and it looks like it's more of a card of transformation where it looks like a couple, and the man is his back is to you or is to us as the viewer. He's staring into the fire, but he has kind of that slump to his shoulders that he's not happy about something or he's discouraged by something. And then the woman is facing towards us, but it looks like it almost looks like she's shedding her skin and becoming someone new and becoming a beautiful young woman. And it looks like maybe her skin, although like it's all dripping down, so you can't really tell. But the impression that I get is that maybe she wasn't as attractive before, and now she's shedding her skin and she's releasing something that's been holding her down, and she's becoming renewed or growing into something new.
So the new fairy deck. So it's the fairies are crowning this little blackbird. So he has a cape on now, and he's getting a little crown. And it's just that fruits of your labor and, just being able to relax and after all that hard work and you get to enjoy a little bit of luxury. You worked hard for it, so enjoy it.
We have had other cards of celebration. I'm thinking particularly of the Four of Wands, which talked about celebrating kind of community events or family events. It made specific reference to weddings. But we also had the Six of Wands, which talked about a victory. Coming back from a victory and celebrating your accomplishments there. Can you tell me how do these cards kind of differ? Not just these cards from the Four and Six of Wands, but how do these two cards, the Nine of Pentacles and the Nine of Cups, how do they differ from each other?
I kind of feel like the Pentacles is more of a taking stock of everything that you've accomplished and celebrating that from a somewhat more detached way, whereas the Nine of Cups is kind of like the Scrooge McDuck diving into his, pool of and like swimming in it and like wrapping it around himself like a cozy blanket that's like feels like a nice fuzzy blanket. It's almost like you're assigning almost a love or a lust to the material, whereas with the Pentacles, I feel like it's more of a detached business appreciation. Like, oh, I succeeded. I've achieved my goal. I've received my degree. Whereas the Cups is more of a material. I can wrap myself in the things that I've purchased. It gives me comfort. It's not as much of an I mean, it is an achievement, but I've achieved material success that I can wrap myself in.
Well, I do appreciate, like Joanne, that you mentioned the Nine of Cups perhaps being an emotional card, because now I can say, hey, do we remember that cups is our suit of emotion? And it gives me an excuse to go back to these themes. Anyways, I do want to ask one more question about the Nine of Pentacles. And that is the. This may not be a valid question because I think it did not appear in many of our decks, but the significance of the bird, the with a lot of the decks that I am looking at, I do see depictions of a bird, but most of them actually do not have hoods on them. So I wanted to know, I mean, I understand that a hooded falcon would be the symbol of financial success because, as we've learned at our local Renaissance fair, the falcon was the bird of the nobility, while the hawk was the bird of the peasantry. But is there, even for those cards that I'm looking at that have a bird but do not have a hood on them. Do you know of any significance to the bird?
I think it's kind of interesting in the Waite Smith deck that there is the hood, because to me that shows like a controlling of your circumstances or keeping things within your control. I mean, you're controlling the bird by keeping the hood on it. Whereas if they're, the decks that have a bird on that particular card but do not have a hood on it means that you're allowing that abundance to flow freely to you of its own accord rather than trying to control it.
Thank you. I do want to thank the both of you, and please join us again next time where we will talk about the tens. Welcome, travelers. Jeff here again with our Arcanist's Corner. I don't have too much that I want to talk about today. I do want to say thank you to all our listeners who are actually with us while we're producing these. I know we're putting out episodes very slowly. I think I say this every episode now, but I do just want to say thank you for sticking with us. So there has been one thought that's been kind of bothering me over the last couple of episodes, specifically with the swords that we've covered, the Eight of Swords and the Nine of Swords. We have in both of these cards situations where we've said, in the Eight of Swords, we had this character who was bound up, but the comment we made last episode was, that these bindings maybe don't look as powerful as the person who's bound up might think they are. And in the Nine of Swords, this episode, again, we have that theme going where we're trying to say the situation might not be as bad as you think it is. And I feel like on one hand, that's a very empowering thing to say. It is saying that you have the ability to get out of this situation. But at the same time, I feel like, I don't know, I'm a little worried about taking what should be a really empowering message and, crossing over some kind of line. I don't want to minimize any struggles that somebody has already been through. I would think that that might take us very close to kind of a position of victim blaming. And that is something that I would want to be careful of. I know what it's like to feel like your struggles have been minimized or undervalued. And it sounds, I mean, just based on the cards alone, not based on any real situation, but on the cards, it feels like the subject of this card has suffered. And to say it was needless suffering feels harsh, feels insensitive. So I don't know. I've just been thinking, where is the line between empowerment and a lack of empathy? I don't know. I don't have any guidelines or tips or, anything to leave you with, just kind of that question. I know for me, it's just something that I feel like I need to be aware of when this card comes up, and I need to be able to try and judge what my subject has been going through. And how do you give hope for the future without minimizing the struggles we've been through? That's all. That's all I've been thinking about. Anyways, again, thank you for sticking with us. And until our paths next cross, I wish you well on your journey. Leyline Junction is hosted and produced by me, Jeff Sternstein. My guests today were Joanne Beth and Teresa Brigado. Some of the decks that we were discussing, I discussed the Shadowscapes Tarot by Stephanie Puy-Mun-Law. Teresa discussed Legend, the Arthurian Tarot by Anna Marie Ferguson, the Lightseers Tarot by Chris Ann, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Tarot by Casey Gilley and Carl James Mountford, and the Good Karma Tarot by Carrie Ward. Joanne discussed Tarot of the Renaissance by Pietro Alego, the Nightmare Before Christmas Tarot deck composed by Minerva Siegel with art by Abigail Larson, and the Fairy Tarot by Antonio Lupatelli. If you want to support the show, the best way you can do so is by rating and reviewing our show wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to check us out on Instagram at Leyline Junction, no spaces, no underscores.
what he needs is less time having Joanne try to repeat it because her brain don't work with mouth real well sometimes. So
Sometimes.
Burn.
You missed it, Joanne. While you were talking, she was pawing at my microphone.
Oh my God.
It
I
was
love it.
super, super cute. She was batting at it like it was a toy.
Oh my God. Oh.
And the card you described for the acorns
Yes.
does sound kind of like the Nine of Swords, which actually is the next card that I wanted to talk about.
Segue to the next topic. Boom.
So,
Hey, use for free.
we were on our walk this morning, Jeff. Like we were like, let's get the Wiggles out this morning before we get on the podcast and have
We
our
wanted to
like,
be good.
still my favorite quote from this entire series.
Get the Wiggles out. Get the
Yes.
Wiggles out.
So we were walking. So sometimes when the weather is nicer, obviously in the winter months, it's not really possible. Weather's
No.
getting nicer. We go on a walk and we just call each other and we walk around our respective neighborhoods while we're walking. So we're getting some exercise and it's almost like we're walking with each other. Well, we are just in different
We
states, but
are.
we can hear each other. So it's
We're in
okay.
different time zones and
Right.
everything.
It's okay. But
Fun.
anyway, so I was walking. And so one of my favorite routes is through the cemetery across the railroad tracks from us. They're super quiet. They don't make a lot of noise, and I like that. Like, there's not a lot of cars over there, so I'm not getting stinky exhaust in my face. It's fine. I don't think it's spooky. I think we've talked about this. I think graveyards are the least haunted places that there are for the most part, because people don't die in graveyards for the most part. They're buried there. There's probably a grief energy imprint that people pick up on because, when
Well, it's
they're
also
burying them.
sacred ground.
Right, yeah.
Graveyards are
But
typically sacred ground.
as far as trying to creep yourself out or freak yourself out, I don't think graveyards are the place. So as I was walking through the graveyard, I saw a murder of crows. I saw three crows.
That is not the place you pause in the sentence.
I know, I
So
know.
your face was great.
After I just got done saying, cemeteries aren't the worst place to live. They don't have trauma. Well, they don't, because it was a murder of crows.